Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of podcasts from the News Tribune featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And, Tom, we are ready for it, whether we want to be or not. A new season is upon us, and I guess the biggest thing is, you know, we talk about it a lot, but some coaches always want more time. Some coaches are ready to go. Players, I think, are always ready to go. How do you feel like the Helias Crusaders are at this point getting ready for the season?
Ready to go, Tony.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's everybody's tired of practicing, and it's
right.
A chance to get out and push yourself against somebody else. I mean, you kind of get to do that in the Jamboree, which they did last Friday in Wardsville, but that's just kind of run very basic vanilla stuff, offensively and defensively. Just get out and mess around a little bit. You know, when the game situations are different. It's been, you know, a full week of game prep for Helias. In fact, they started prepping for Hannibal even during Jamboree week. So,
okay. You
know, they're getting excited. I think they're ready to go because, you know, they remember last year what happened, first game of the year down here. Hannibal jumped out to a big lead early and ended up beating pretty handily, and so, you know, might have a little bit of revenge on their mind.
Yeah, exactly. We'll look back briefly before we look forward. That was one of only two losses on the season for the Crusaders last year.
Yeah, lost to Hannibal in the first game, and then lost to Holt in the district final, you know, I believe state finalists. So,
yeah.
You know, winning 9 in a row in the middle there, it was, it was really a successful season. You know, you're disappointed that you didn't make it further into the district playoffs, and you're disappointed the way the season started. But, you know, they played very well in that 9-game stretch to really, they climbed into the state rankings and they stayed there for the season.
So the obvious follow-up question is, how many people are back from that team that did have a vast amount of success in the middle stretch of that season?
They got a handful back on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's you don't want to say it's a veteran team, but they are veterans in the right spots for now.
Okay.
You know, they've got a lot of linemen back on both sides, which, frankly, that's where it all starts. And
right.
If that truly is where it all starts, that's where you want them.
I was going to say, if you talk to most coaches, and if they had their druthers, obviously you want some guys back in some skill positions too. But I think if you surveyed most coaches, they're like, yeah, let's start with the stuff that we need to be solid at. And if you can get people back at that, then that's a good starting place.
Yeah, I remember a conversation with Chris a couple of years ago before the season started. He talked about this group of sophomores, linemen. He said, you know, I think at the time he told me there were 13 of them. He said, if they stick together and continue to improve, it's going to be the best lineman group as a class we've ever had.
Okay.
Now, they've lost a couple, I think, you know, attrition, which is going to happen.
Sure.
But I think there's like 10 or 11 left, and he says, yeah, you know, now it's time for them to go out and prove it.
Right.
Know, prove that they are the best. And, you know, they played very well last year, most of the year. They struggled a little bit against Holt, obviously struggled a little bit against Hannibal. But, you know, overall they played well, and those guys are going to be the ones that are, frankly, going to decide a lot of the fortune of the offense and the defense.
I was going to say, are most of those guys then going to go both ways? Is it a group that will play on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I think offensively they are going to probably play most of the snaps on offense. There's going to be more of a rotation on the defensive
okay.
side just to stay fresher.
Sure.
But, you know, up front, you know, those are going to be the guys that you know, decide, I think, a lot about how good the Helias offense is going to be this year.
Sure, exactly. Well, let's just start with the offense then while we're talking about, you know, how things look this year for the Crusaders. You mentioned the lineman. That's a good place to start. It's also good when you got a quarterback returning.
Yeah, Drew Miller's back for his senior year. Always, you know, like I say, a second year in a system, you're expecting to see leaps and bounds improvement.
Sure.
And that's what Chris told me. He said in the preseason, we can tell how much he has matured from when he was named the starter basically after the first week of practice last year. You know, he's making better decisions. He knows more. They're putting more offense on him. Chris says he's kind of developing into a coach on the field.
Okay.
You know, I think he was a little rattled last year against Hannibal, threw an early interception that returned for a touchdown. Now I think he's got something to prove. I think, you know, for tonight at Hannibal.
I think we've both kind of assumed that or we, you know, talked over the point. It's always helpful to ask. Same system as last year for the offense, I guess, when you're starting things out? I mean, and especially with a returner at that, are we going to see anything, you know, out of the ordinary or different from the Crusaders, or is it going to be more of the same?
Same system, but I think, you know, with the second-year quarterback, you can throw more at him.
Sure.
You know, he can get more, you know, he can do a little more with the ball. He can do a little more, like, reading the defense and kind of change the play as he has to. And one thing I did ask Chris, I said, with the veteran linemen, you know, can you do more with them? And he said, well, you know, you'd think, yeah, just, you know, run, pass, block, not much. But he said, yeah, you can, because they can read what's coming and they can change things around the line.
Okay.
You know, he said that, you know, they're a smart group. He said the starter's GPA is like 3.9. I don't know who the slug is that knocks it down, but it's, you know, he said it's one of the smartest groups he's ever had. These kids can play. They can play. They're smart. They can adapt. It's going to be fun to watch them progress. You know, Andrew Miller, too. I think, you know, those are going to be the keys.
Yeah. With that, I guess then that'll give it, you know, the spots that maybe they're inexperienced at a little bit time, more time to grow, because when you do have that solid foundation, that'll cover up a lot of maybe early deficiencies maybe at other spots.
Yeah, you know, like you look at running backs, they've got guys that ran like not starters and not didn't have a lot of carries, but they've got guys like Corbin Fisher and Brady Rush and Mason French even too a little bit last year ran the ball, you know, and did well, you know, and right now, and if you've got guys in front of them opening holes, it's going to be, it should really help the running game. You know, Corbin is more of a, you know, between, I'm going to just call it, but between the tackles kind of hard runner kid, while Brady last year when we watched him in varsity games, he was kind of the outside speed guy. And,
sure.
And Mason French is kind of that way too. And I think, you know, they're going to have a little inside-outside when it comes to that.
Okay. Let's flip to the other side of the ball then. Obviously, you mentioned a little bit in terms of the line. It sounds like, you know, just you, me, and talking before this, it sounds like they've got some pretty good depth on that other side of the ball. And maybe like, you know, an embarrassment of riches when you talk about it's a kind of a rarity sometimes for high school football.
Yeah, they're going. The plan is to play 22 guys.
Okay.
Now, not at the same time.
Right. That would be illegal. You'd get flagged for that.
That would be illegal. But to rotate guys in to try to keep them fresh.
Sure.
You know, and part of it is because a lot of them are going to play offense. Part of it is the fact that they want to be an attacking defense and they want guys out there fresh that can do what they want to do.
Okay.
And, you know, that's kind of been Phil Pitt's philosophy forever. And I think, obviously, the defense has played well the last few years, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't this year either.
I would assume that means, in terms of pure numbers, they must have some pretty good depth, too, just from the standpoint of sometimes you can't do that, even if you want to do that, because you don't have the numbers. So, one, they must have the numbers, and two, they must have the guys that, you know, make it a possibility to do that.
I think part of it, they do, but I think part of it is, this is going to sound silly, unproven depth.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys, a lot of the second string guys haven't had a lot of varsity time.
Okay.
You know, they're sophomores. In fact, there might even be a freshman or two on the field, maybe not necessarily at Hannibal, but later in the year,
okay,
those guys are going to get out there, and it's going to be, you know, development and get them to where toward the end of the year they're going to be able to play the defense they want to play.
Sure. So is there anything different on the other side of the ball? I mean, or is it just going to be, you know, kind of what we expect to see from the Crusaders?
No, yeah, I mean, they obviously switch things up every week depending on who the opponent is.
Sure.
Just the same kind of defense everybody expects to see.
Yeah. Special teams-wise, how are things looking on that side of the ball?
I would make, you know, I think you could make the argument that Helias over the past, we'll call it 6-7 years, has had one of the top special teams units in the state.
Right.
Between the punters and the kickers and kickoffs and returns. And that, you know, they are sort of kind of without a Calvaruso for the first time.
Okay. In here.
But there's a freshman, Nick Calvaruso, who's in contention to handle some of the PAT and field goal duties.
Okay.
But they've got a freshman to kick off.
Okay.
So, I mean, here's some of that depth coming in. And then Drew Miller will be the punter, which, you know, a quarterback as a punter is not unheard of.
Right.
You know, you kind of see that these days a lot. And they've got speed guys and returners. In fact, some of those speed guys are freshmen and sophomores. They're going to be returning the ball. So that's going to be a young group, and it's going to be fun to watch to see how they progress.
Well, you've mentioned a couple times, but you know, it's we're the traditional week one opponent of Hannibal. You know, it's a drive I know you don't enjoy making, but
well,
I think
I've done it so many times.
I understand. Well, you've done everything so many times when you're this far into your career as you are. But again, it is. I think, you know, it's nice. I mean, not nice, I'm sure, for Helias to lose last year, but it's nice to see kind of the rivalry kind of coming back a little bit, where it had been maybe, you know, Helias maybe wasn't sure if that game was kind of still worth it some years, where it's nice to see it that it still means something.
It's always a good game.
Yeah.
And you know, going back to the NCMC days, which we do.
Right.
And so, you know, and I don't think that game will ever leave the schedule. You know, it's going to be the game one, because they both both teams know it's a really good test.
Right.
You know, and I'm not going to say they don't like each other, but they kind of don't.
Right.
So it kind of gives more emphasis to week
sure.
one. And, you know, it's a fun game for both of them, and there's a lot of fan interest. You know, they'll be – the visiting stands will be full up in Hannibal tonight, just like, you know, the visitor's portion was full last year with Hannibal people. And it's kind of a fun game to start the season with.
And I think it's something that coaches, you know, sometimes you, as a coach, you try to, you know, put yourself in the, or your team in a position where you have to get used to different things, or you have to be kind of aware of different things. Well, it used to be, it wasn't unheard of for Helias to have long road trips, and for them to be, to kind of get in that mentality you have of, we got to take a long bus trip, then we got to get off, then we got to get ready, and then we got to play. You know, this is going to be a weird schedule from the standpoint of, they're going to need this thing maybe when it comes to playoff time, when you have to have the experience of taking a long bus trip and then get off and get ready to play, because they're not going to have many of those trips this year.
No, really not. You know, you look week two, they start the CMAC schedule at Hickman, and then the last 7 weeks, they don't leave Jeff City. You know, it's bizarre, but, you know, their road games, wink, wink, are, you know, against Capital City and Jeff City. So the road game will be all the way down Stadium Boulevard. So, yeah, this is really going to be their one true road game of the year. And, you know, in the past, they've done fine on the road. They've kind of gotten used to it. You know, you can't – the coaches know what they need to do. To get,
sure.
The kids may not necessarily do it, but the coaches.
Right, right. What do we expect to see from Hannibal this year? I mean, and we knew they were very, very good last year. And we knew that they were going to be a stern test for anybody in a number of different classes and different sizes. What do they return? How do they look in terms of this year's matchup?
They had a lot of offensive weapons last year you had to account for.
Okay.
And not the least of which was Aeneas Williams. And, you know, Aeneas, who's getting, you know, you name a D1 program in the country. He's a junior. A D1 program in the country, and they've offered him.
Okay.
He's that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he ended up with somewhere around 40 total touchdowns last year and close to 2,400 yards of offense between rush and pass.
Okay.
So he's an attention getter. And trust me, talking to some of the last coaches, you know, he had their attention last year, you know, but they had other things they had to worry about. Well, he's kind of like the focus this year.
Okay.
It's like, you know, yeah, you may beat us, but it isn't going to be this guy beating us if we can help it.
Right.
So he's going to get his yards tonight. We know, Helias knows it, but they're going to try to do their best to slow him down because there is no stopping him.
Okay. Well, I guess that leads us to the natural prediction point of the podcast. You know, it's early. We don't know much about either team. We'll learn more as the season goes on. So this will be the guessiest of guesses as the year goes on. But what's your gut instinct going into this one?
I'm going to put my faith in the Helias defense that they can figure out something to do with Williams.
Okay.
And that they can figure out a way, somebody hang on and wait for somebody to come and help. Because one guy's not going to bring him down. It's going to be two or three. And figure out a way to get that done. So Helias does not want to get into a shootout.
Okay.
Because they will, you know, that would not be good for them on Friday night tonight. So I'm going to take Helias 28-26.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.